Blog Talk Radio.
heard you an explosion. Oh my God, I don't believe it. The northeast corner has exploded in the most incredible explosion. Flames are flying out of the building. They're 5-10 stories high now. Black billowing smoke. The building corner, the whole entire corner is gone.
Both World Trade Center buildings in New York City right now, heaps of rubble. At 9 o'clock this morning, a plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan.
I heard the noise. I was in my office, and I heard a guy screaming. So I ran out, and everybody was saying, oh, my God, and they're in tears. They're crying. Everybody's upset.
I was trying to make phone calls. I looked up, and I heard an explosion, and then I saw everybody in the street react first. People crying, people on the ground, everybody lying down. And then I looked up, and I saw this huge plume of smoke, and the tower just crumbling. And it just turned into a huge plume of smoke, and next thing you know, there's smoke in one tower.
Shortly after 9 o'clock, a second plane crashed into the second tower.
Oh, my God. I heard a noise coming in incredibly low. And then I was standing here looking out the window, and I knew it was going to crash, and something was going to hit the building. I dove away from the window because I thought the explosion was going to implode the windows, and I'd be shattered with glass flying out. As soon as it hit, I came back, and there was a ball of flame.
I'm still shaking. I saw it hit the tower and flame everywhere.
Then minutes later, President Bush in Sarasota, Florida, called those crashes an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
Then an aircraft crashes near the Pentagon just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia about an hour after those attacks in New York.
Looking out our 12th floor windows at 1600 Wilson Boulevard in Roslyn, Virginia, and I watched this. It looked like a commuter plane, two engine, come down from the south, real low. Proceed right on and crash right into the Pentagon.
Then shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, one World Trade Center tower in New York collapsed.
Lots of smoke, and then the next thing I heard is an explosion, and the building on the top, the south building, just crumbled.
Just after 10:30 this morning, the other World Trade Center tower collapsed.
We were standing there looking up at flames coming out of the building and smoke billowing out of the building and police and FBI everywhere, and suddenly we heard a rumble and the sky was full of smoke. Everybody ran, crowds of people running through, shouting out to each other not to fall into the subway entrances.
So it's just truly amazing because yesterday afternoon we were sitting in the World Trade Plaza Center having lunch, and so now those two buildings are completely destroyed.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the
was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. We will do whatever is necessary protect America.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay.
Quiet, boy. Hey, Charlie.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and and I know true love throughout the day. Our true love will bring us joy to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why just you and I know true love was.
Like David,
like David.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fears. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here.
I am hope for all who are hurting. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be alive. Come and rest in me.
Oh. Okay, so we're looking at 911. We're remembering 911. And one of the things that struck me about 911 was how hard the press tried to hide the fact that 200 pro-life babies died with their pro-life mothers. And they didn't count them, you know, because in the United States, if you're not out of the womb, you're dead meat. How sad, huh? How ironic. And yet, and I thought about those 200 mothers who knew they were about to die with a child in their womb. And death is absolute. And when those buildings are coming down, you know that there's no survival. And in those last seconds, the only person that you have as a woman that's with child is that child. And if you believe in life after death, you also have to believe that that mother and that child will stand before God, and at least they'll have each other's company in the company of God, waiting on other family members to join them at a later date and time. So we're going to dedicate a tune to those 200 moms.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?
Will you come and follow me? I but call your name. Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown? Thank you.
911, there was a girl named Melissa who was trapped above the 80th floor, and she called to say goodbye to her mother, and she couldn't get through. She left a message on her mother's voicemail, and I imagine that voicemail message gets played over and over again. So the next tune is dedicated to Melissa. The name of the tune is Makushla. In Gaelic, it means my darling.
Thank you. Say goodbye, but you
911, many kids became the head of the household. And Roy Orbison, many years ago, lost his whole family in a fire. And he wrote a song called In Dreams. And we're dedicating this to all the kids who lost a parent at 911.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away.
In a lonely grave unknown lies the heart that beats so true. He sang faint and hungry among the famished brave, and they laid him sad and lonely within his nameless grave. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for the faded coat of blue. And just a little crumb, and my mother, she will bless you through all the years to come. Oh, tell my sweet sister, so gentle, good and true, that I'll meet her up in heaven in my faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue. My heart with startling beat, with each footfall at my door. I gaze on the hill where he waved a last adieu, but no gallant lad I see in his faded coat of blue. No more the bugle. In thy grave unknown, I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue.
My first article tonight is the first wave of jihad. The first wave of jihad is the most shocking. The second wave of jihad is the most deadly. What is the lesson message of Troy, the siege of Troy? Beware of Greeks bearing gifts. On the ninth anniversary of the 9/11 massacre in the year of our Lord 2010, We 9-1 New Yorkers, with an asterisk, and at the end of the reading I'll tell you what a 9-1-1 New Yorker is, are the new Trojans. A 9-1-1 Jihad victory mosque is being erected with government aid. The imam, known as the bridge builder, is the equal of the Nazi Autobahn builder. His bridge is in Fallujah, where burned American bodies were hanged. The first propaganda commercial that was splashed on the TV during the siege of the Twin Towers was, "We are all Kumbaya people." No, we are not. We are Americans, proud, free, and unashamed. And God help those who try to destroy our LLP. L, life, including all the unborn. Liberty, including 70% less taxes and the pursuit of happiness, not directed by political clowns toying with legislation. The death toll from 9-1-1 continues to climb. We are approaching 8,000 and two battlefronts are still engaging. The state of Arizona has been surrendered to the UN to punish their effort for insisting on a defendable border. The nation is divided more now than in the Civil War. And those who divide us cleverly say Salaam Aleikum and preach togetherness. And the last thing these communists want to see in the USA is togetherness. The second wave of jihad is manned by fake Americans who leave the New York door wide open to another 9-1-1. Politicians who vote to remove God from the American scene. Politicians who deny they support euthanasia, but put in place medical plans of execution hidden in 2,700 pages of unread legislation. Politicians who 40 days before 9-1-1 voted to let the American flag burn and be rid of it. They called it freedom of speech. These are the same ones that call child murder settled law. These American imposters like Congress Mice, Nadler, Mad Anthony Weiner, Phony Maloney, Ackerman, Meeks, and Rangel all voted to burn the flag, as did the doormat state senators Schumer and Clinton. They all voted 40 days before 9-1-1 to let our American burial shroud burn. And now they stand united with the Cuomos and Mayor Abu Dhabi of Bloomingdale. I call him Bloomingdale because New York is on special when he sells it out. To spit on the graves of our sacred dead, and they call it freedom of religion. They swing open the front door of Jihad Destruction Care of New York, and also open the back door to Jerusalem Jihad in the darkness of their deeds. I am recalling the warning of Cicero to the Romans. Be on guard, Americans. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Your day is coming. Cicero says a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to feel. The traitor is the plague. Yes, my friends, the second wave of jihad is more deadly than the frontal assault. 9 years later, and bin Laden still lives, even though he's right down the street from 130,000 American troops. The State Department employs jihadis to represent a broken American nation, building 9-1-1 jihad victory mosques in Al-Qaeda strongholds. But New Orleans is still in ruins, and the southern coastal workers are ordered by the Attorney General, Eric Bagholder, not to eat. Today, an American teenager going to a government-controlled school was denied access to the parking lot because his two American flags were too controversial. And we all remember what happened at the Lincoln Memorial when a bunch of school kids tried to sing the Star Spangled Banner and were nearly arrested. In New York public schools, only 50% of the students rise to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and 25 turn their back on our blood red, white, and blue banner. While our enemies build bigger bombs and work tirelessly to decapitate America, our useless of a politicians from both parties are voting to legalize the number one killer of the American soul, taxable drugs, and are concerned with other life-threatening issues like same-sex marriage. In my church, on an American flag are the 47 names of blacks, Latinos, and other Americans who fought a jihad at death and died together. On the other side of the altar, under a 13 states flag, is a book containing the names of 247 Americans who rose up to take their place on the battlefield, including three brothers from one family. The time has come to destroy the terrorist control of our government by one party. Never again, never again let one party control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Tonight, a freedom hangs by a thread. The only obstacle to a one-party dictatorship is one Supreme Court judge. November can't come soon enough for me, and I pray America destroys the second wave of jihad. We will be revering 911 at 9 a.m. on 911, remembering that empty chair in the dining room, that faint pillow smell, regretting the kiss goodbye was not longer, after we pay our respects to the innocent, whose creed is the strong must protect the weak always. Then we will revere once again like Paul did when he woke up this nation to the threat of other tyrants. I have a picture of the World Trade Center with the people looking out the window who are trapped on the 80th floor. And underneath it, I put the caption, "See if you can get anybody to make you a stamp. Like the American flag, it will be too controversial." And my definition of a 911 New Yorker is any human being who cried and died with us on 911 and took up the shield to block the jihad sword. I was on vacation in Curacao. And I was sitting at the airport next to an Italian of about 40 years. And he started to talk about 911, and he broke down in tears. All the way from Italy, he had watched us die and suffer. And it bothered him 8 years later. A 910 New Yorker is a loser and a coward who will get us all killed, and believes they can debate Khalid the Virgin Counter on their knees at the cockpit door, steeped in pilot stewardess blood, as Khalid gives the 72 Virgin Countdown to paradise without his wife and kids. 910 New Yorkers always begin their sellout of America with the phrase, 911 was a tragedy, but... They also vote to burn the flag, kill kids and the elderly, while calling the EPA to complain about secondhand smoke and DNA windowsill dust coming from Liberty Plaza. They claim to be anti-war, but they are really anti-win. Their unpatriotic chant is any country but mine. Hooray for Hollywood, and let's legalize taxable heroin. Their nightly nightmare is a draft call. They love to argue that Saddam never had WOMDs, and Bush did not have to plant the sons of Nancy Pelosi, Uday and Kusei on Sandal Hill. Bush called Saddam's bluff and hanged him Texas style, and if you think that was as crude as oil, wait until we get Bin Laden with my challenge coin stuck to his head. And my challenge coin, it says, it's the picture of the towers and the planes hitting it, and it says, 911, we forget nothing. I'm bypassing the CIA, which I call the CYA, FBI, I call that the FIB, and military special ops at the Pentagon, and I'm going with CBS, the Picture Developing Division. My reason, they have a good track record, as does the airline stewardess who single-handedly captured Harry Reid's son, Richard Deshubama. No more 2 p.m. Failure Academy Award press releases, please. Just 2 minutes of my favorite sniper song, Oldie. You'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. Join us for a kumbaya moment just before the bugler sounds Boots and Saddles. Bugler, sound Boots and Saddles.
That one man, one American, rattled the entire world the other day. I think his name is Terry Jones. He's a pastor of about 75 parishioners down in Florida. And in spite of all the efforts of governments and all the kumbaya people, they couldn't get the torture mosque to be withdrawn from across the street from the World Trade Center. And this guy threatened to burn 200 Korans, and he rocked the world. Now, if Patrick Henry came back today, would we recognize him? Is Terry Jones our Patrick Henry? I listened to O'Reilly and Fox call him a loon last night at least 6 times in a dissertation. They labeled him a loon. Is it loony to love your country? Is it loony to stand up for what you believe in? No matter what they unearthed about Terry Jones, Terry Jones got more attention to an issue than all of the BSing mayors and politicians and skedaddlers. So for Terry Jones, our modern Patrick Henry, who's been labeled already, he was tried and executed before he was even brought to court. Thank you for stirring up the Freedom Pot. And I'm dedicating this last portion to Terry Jones and people like Terry Jones who are not afraid to stand up for what they believe in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. So hang in there, and I'll give you my best tribute for tonight, or for today. And I just got to find it. Bear with me. It's worth waiting for, I can guarantee you. Oh. Well, I'm going to give you one and then I'll look for it.
The saddest song that was played on 911, the aftermath of 911, was Danny Boy. What was sad about it is that usually when the fire department loses a brother, they have many pipers to play a farewell. And the fire department had lost 343 brothers, and the agony of being short-handed reduced the pipers to one per funeral, and it was really sad. And some captains of firehouses had to do many eulogies. I think I recall one did 10 eulogies for all the guys that he served with, and he had to meet with their families. And he was a mental wreck and a physical wreck when he completed his task. It was very hard for him to come back from it. I remember a guy coming into my place of business, and he was a young fireman, and he said that he was there. He was one of the first ones there on 911, and he was the last one to leave after it was all done and over with. And he was a physical and mental wreck. These guys suffered a tremendous trauma. So here's a little Danny boy.
The valley river, the flowers are all dying, the meadow is white with the winter snow. The place where dead is lying. I say a silent prayer, and somehow I know he
must go, and I must die.